Thus, or walking in the Spirit, ready to see what God has to say to each one of us, and go from there. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege we have as believers to come together and to worship you. We thank you for your plan. And as we look at what we call the zodiac, we can see that your plan, as Scripture says, has been from eternity past. And so we thank you for the opportunity to see you even in the stars. These things, now I pray that as we study them, your Spirit would show us how they apply to us individually, personally. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We are Capricornus, or the goat. And I kind of have a... this is... you can see I had to fold it in two and do two different halves because it was too big to go on the copier, copy max, and it's just too big. I wanted to get it and reduce it down, and I may still be able to find somewhere that can do it. It's a little bit different, but it's the same. And we are right here at the first chapter in our second book, which is Capricorn. Notice once again that we have a picture of the hypostatic union of Christ. We have the goat. The goat is dying, and then we have, from the goat, we have the fish. The fish represents life that came from Christ. The fish represents, obviously, the church. And we saw last time in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And so that's what we're looking at right here. You see, the fish coming out, the vigorous life that comes from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of the seed that has fallen down from Virgo. And the fish represents the fruit. And so Jesus had to die. He had to be sacrificed for us. And we're the fruit of the sacrifice from his death. We get life. And I think I pointed out, if you can look and see, the goat looks as if it's in a dying position. And it is in a dying posture. And obviously speaking of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And next, I think we saw Isaiah 53, where he was stricken for us. And then today we'll spend some time on the tail. It's the tail of a vigorous fish. And the whole idea here is the living fish comes out of the dying goat. The goat, the sacrifice of Christ, his resurrection, his ascension and ascension, and from that we have the church. And we're the living fish. We receive our birth because of the death of Christ. And by the way, this is the mystic sign for procreation right here. It's the fish, the tail of the fish. And Jeremiah 16 says, I will send for many fishes, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rock. And kind of goes back to in Matthew 4, where the Lord told the disciples, "I will make you fishers of men." And when we're caught, we're born again, rebirth, and we're born of water from the Spirit. And we saw, and we will see when we get to Aquarius, that our natural habitat is water, the Holy Spirit. And anytime we are not walking in the Spirit, we're like a fish out of water. We just kind of flop around. And sometimes, You know, I don't know if you've ever done a lot of fishing, and you bring the fish on the shore if you're fishing from the bank, and you throw them up on the bank, they do have a tendency to flop. And the longer they're there, you know, as they become frantic, they flop more and more and more. And oftentimes they'll flop away from the water. Sometimes they flop back in the water. And that's the way we are, I think, as fish out of water, not walking in the spirit. We become frantic in looking for something that will give us life, that will get us satisfaction. And that probably describes many Christians today. We're just flopping around on the bank, out of our sphere, and obviously in carnal death. Now, the brightest star in Capricorn is Deneb Ahgadi, which is Arabic for the sacrifice cometh. And so I think it's interesting. What do we have here? One of the brightest stars, you can't see it, but if the sacrifice is coming, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah says, therefore I agree, he himself bore, or he carried. He carried our sin. And our sins he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken. And so here he is right here as the victim. He is stricken. That's how we see him. Stricken. We have seen him stricken, smitten by God, this is God the Father, and afflicted. But he was pierced, literally crucified, through because of our transgression. He was crushed because of our iniquity. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. And so you see, from his scourging, from him taking the chastisement of our sin, we're healed, we have life. That's what the tale of the fish is all about. And so Capricorn implies not only the death of Christ, but his literal and powerful resurrection. Capricorn says that we, the church, share in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Current positional truth. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll just read from verse 1 and read about 5 or 6 verses. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin in order that grace may increase, may abound? And the answer in verse 2, in the English, it just doesn't cut it. May it never be. Meganeto is in the Greek. And if I were going to, and you see, it's an idiom. And one of the problems is when you translate an idiom into another language and you just give it its dictionary translation, it loses something. You know, when the Russians were here, we saw that. What have you been doing today? Oh, I've just been kicking back. So they look it up in the dictionary. Kicking. They see what that is, back. So kicking back is kicking someone for something they did to you. Right? But that isn't what it means. It means the opposite. It means reacting, doing nothing. Meganeto is an idiom. And it means hell no. There's a biblical term. It's strong. Well, Christ has paid for all of our sins on the cross, so we can just go out there and just sin all we want. Yippee. Paul says, hell no. Now, does God's grace abound when we sin? Yes. But he says in verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Look, the goat represents the sin sacrifice. The tail of the fish is life. We share in his death and his burial and resurrection. We are to live like those who have been resurrected. We have been resurrected from the power of sin over our life, from the penalty of sin over our life. And Aquarius is going to tell us how we have the power over sin because of the Holy Spirit. So, since we're dead to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Verse 3, or don't you know? Do you not know? One of the great problems in the church today is we don't know. We don't know the Bible. We don't know doctrine. Do you not know that all of us who have received baptism into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Remember, the word baptizo simply means to be identified with. We have been identified with his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so, how are we to live? We are to live in newness of life. We are to remember that we are sick. We were regenerated by the water of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, our life is identified with the Holy Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, we have real life. When we're not walking in the Spirit, we're like that fish just flopping around on the shore. It's alive, but doesn't have life. Put him back in the water. Now he's back where he belongs, and he's living. So he says then, verse 5, for if we, and it's true, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, and that our body of sin might be done away with. Now, when it says might be done away with, if you were Arminian in nature, a Nazarene, etc., when they read this, they say, aha, your old sin nature is destroyed. Takes a while. You work hard. Work hard. Do a lot of good things. Keep the law. And pretty soon, your old sin nature is gone. And then, if it comes back, you got to be resaved. Well, let me tell you, I wish that was true. I wish our old sin nature left. Wouldn't that be neat? Our old sin nature is not going to leave us. We have to leave it in the resurrected body. But in the power of the Spirit, its power is negated. And that's what it really means here. When it says that it might be done away with, the word in the Greek literally means deprived of its influence, of its power. And it's a subjunctive mood. There is a potential. When we live in the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit by faith, the power of our old sin nature is deprived. I like the word also means unemployed. What we need are more unemployed old sin natures. For most of us, our old sin nature is not only employed, has three jobs. Doesn't work 8 hours a day, doesn't work 16 hours a day, works 24 hours a day. We need to make sure it's unemployed. And it's unemployed, we're going to see this in Aquarius, when we, here we are, the fish, when we drink of the water that comes from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Here's a test question. Pre-test. Here's a pre-test question for you. Drinking is a picture of what? Ooh, I made a little pun. A picture? Drinking water? All right. It's a picture of what? Work? Faith. How are we filled with the Spirit? By faith. Not by anything we do. We just drink him in. How are we saved? By faith. We just drink him in. Drink in Jesus. That's faith. So he says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, again, verse 6, so that our body of sin, the old sin nature, might be deprived of its influence, so that we should be no longer be slaves to sin, slaves to our old sin nature. For he who has died is freed from sin. The result of our death in Christ is we are free, perfect, passive indicative. And the passive voice is the voice of grace. The perfect tense represents results. And so every time we recognize, wait a minute, I'm dead to sin and I drink of the Holy Spirit, guess what? We've died to sin. Okay? So, back to Capricorn. We go all the way back to Virgo. She has the virgin, has the seed, Christ. She drops the seed to the ground. It dies, germinates, sprouts, gives forth fruit. The seed is the goat who dies. The fruit, the church. When anyone puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he shares in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. He springs up in newness of life. And so this is how we are to live. We're to live as Christ intended us to live, filled with the Spirit in newness of life. Now, the first deacon is the arrow. Now, you can see the arrow pretty good here, and I like this one. Can you see the arrow? That's the arrow. And that is the arrow shot from God the Father, the bow of God's justice, and it hits Jesus on the cross. Only Jesus Christ can have as his point of contact not only God's love, but God's justice. Because in order to have justice as your point of contact, you have to be absolutely perfect as God is perfect. Psalms 38:2. The psalmist says, "For your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me." When you read the psalms, and the prophetic psalms of the cross of Christ, and you read the arrows have pierced me, that you shot the arrow and so forth. Here it is. This is the arrow right here. Foretold from God to Adam in the garden. Your arrow has pierced me. Psalms 38, verse 2. There are a lot of them, but that's the only one I wanted to look at. Isn't it Psalms 38? Yeah, it is. For your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me. Oh, okay. That's all right. I'm the expert at that. Now, look at the paper. What do you think? What do you think's on this paper? I say. Look at Colossians chapter 2. What? Yeah, that starts with a K. Colossians. It's right after the Philippines. Look at verse 13. When you, being dead in your sins and in uncircumcision, no relationship with God, and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God, the NIV says, made you alive with him, or with Christ. Actually, it says in the Greek, caused you to live together or to become alive together with him. He forgave us every one of our sins. You might want to put a little mark or something around all pot. Every one of them. Having canceled, and the word cancel means to obliterate. What? The written code. Technical word. The handwritten note of indebtedness. It's a technical word for the indictment. You go to court, I think, and they read an indictment. There's a list of the charges. Is that right, Alicia? And of course, they're all wrong, but in this case, they're right. And so, on that arrow is your indictment. Every sin you will commit, have committed, are committing. Every one of them. That's what it means. And it goes right to Christ. It pierced him. And it's obliterated. Forgiven. Gone. I mean, is that not amazing? That's amazing. But what I was thinking about being amazing is that in the garden, here is the Lord Jesus explaining to Adam what the arrow is all about. And he had never sinned. Adam probably thought, well, if it's me, it'd just be a short list. It's only one. Well, it turned out to be, you know, Adam lived over 900 years after the fall. There was probably 10 or 12 sins on that. 900 years. All of our sins right there. But it just amazes me that before the fall, Adam understands what happens to his sins. Now do you see that when the Lord takes the animal and sacrifices the animal, that's a picture of where the arrow went. Begins to make sense. So having canceled the written code, the handwritten record of indebtedness, your record of charges, with its regulations that was against us, hostile to us, and stood opposed to us, he took it away. Perfect tense. This is a permanent action. And the word to take away means to lift up off of so that one no longer experiences it, destroys it, to do completely away with it. He completely did away with the list of charges. And so it would be as if, perhaps, you're on trial, and the trial starts, and they're going to read the list of charges, and there's nothing listed. Now, what would happen there, Alicia? And they look, they can't find any list of charges anywhere. Guess they'd have to let you go, wouldn't they? See? You see that? The list of charges is gone. Yeah. Well, we died spiritually when Adam sinned.
Right.
So we're born spiritually dead.
Right.
But when we come back to spiritual life, okay, we have eternal life. And why does any person then go to hell? Is it because of their sin? No, they've been obliterated. It's because of rejection of Christ. And they're without excuse. When we get to Romans 1, and Paul says they're without excuse, there it is. Yeah, Adam's real problem was he didn't, it was a disobedience, but he didn't trust God. Because here's his woman eating of the fruit. He knows what's going to happen to her. She's going to be gone. You can't depend on yourself. You have to depend upon me. And Adam made the choice between the woman and Christ. That was his choice. Yeah, he just ate the fruit. Yeah. See, what Adam should have done is said, sweetheart, you ate the fruit. We're not supposed to do that. We better go over to the tree of life. Eat of the tree of life. When Adam sinned, he blew it for all of us. And there is the whole key, because one man, the first Adam, brings condemnation. One man, the second Adam, brings eternal life. And that's what the whole zodiac is about. Every third decon tells you that. In other words, the last decon in each chapter tells you that. Okay? Last decon in Virgo is Bootes. He comes as the victor, the victorious one, ruler forever. We have eternal life through him. Okay, let's, did we read verse? I think we read all the verses. I can't remember. Yeah. So, oh yeah, nailing it to his cross. Do you see that? Was nailed to the cross. There comes the ill. Right at Christ. For your arrows have pierced me. Nails. And notice what happened. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. What happened at the cross? Everything the Zodiac always tells us. Lucifer got whooped. Every time. Remember the serpent going for the crown? And I never can say his name. Arthicus grabs him and keeps him from getting the crown. That's the victory. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3. One of my favorite passages. We spent some time in Lamentations. I did it for communion a while back. Lamentations chapter 3. Okay, Lamentations after Jeremiah. So you go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. You get to Ezekiel, Daniel, go back a little bit. That starts with an L. Now remember, this is not the Lamentations of Jeremiah. It's the Lamentations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction. Remember, that's Jesus Christ. And the word for affliction means to be run over by a plow. Man, you know, you're tilling the ground and got those big tillers. And you'd be run over by one of those. That's smart. That's Christ on the cross. Because of the rod of his wrath. Because of the wrath of God the Father. And that shoots the arrow at Christ. He, the Father, has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. It was dark upon the cross. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has shattered my bones. Tremendous pain. And besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. There's no escape. No escape from the cross. He has made my chains heavy. He's on the cross, the son of the bondwoman. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. Psalms 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has blocked my ways with huge stones. He's just built a wall around me. He has made my path crooked. You know what that means? Sin. On the cross, Christ became sin for us. Verse 10, he is to me like a bear lying in wait. Like a lion in secret places. That's the judgment of the cross. Seen a paper the other day where that 90-some-odd-year-old lady somewhere, a bear broke into her house and killed her. Painful way to go. When a bear gets through, the lion gets after you. That's the cross. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. Now look at verse 12. He, the Father, has bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He made the arrows of his quiver to enter my inward. A gut shot with an arrow. Ooh. Are we talking pain here? I have become a laughingstock to my people. Their mocking song all the day has filled me with bitter herbs. Not bitterness, bitter herbs. Now, they mocked him and they made fun of him on the cross. He has made me drunk with wormwood. That's the cross. And he has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. That's the disgrace of the cross. And my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. You want to know what it's like for Jesus on the cross? It was like he just forgot whatever it was like to be happy. He couldn't remember anymore. Man, have you ever had such pain? You've been in such distress that we said that. I don't even, you know, I've been miserable so long I forgot what it was like to be happy. Well, that was Jesus Christ on the cross. He had forgotten what it was like to be happy. That's how miserable he was. He goes on to say, yes, verse 17. And my soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope, my confidence from the Lord. So he's saying, look, I was planning on the Lord, you know, taking care of me. It's gone. And then verse 19. I wanted to read it, verse 18 from the NIV, because I like the translation better. He says, so I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I hoped for from Jehovah. His glory is gone on the cross. Why? Because he has become sin for us. Then he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood, the gall, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them and my soul is cast down within me. You see, on the cross, Christ is facing the question, God, how can you do this to me? I don't deserve it. Yeah, he's the only person in the history who could say that, and it was true. I don't deserve this. What doesn't he deserve? The arrow carrying our sin pierced him. Yet, this I call to mind. Oh, man. He remembers God's love. And therefore, I have hope. The word for hope, Yahel, is faith under pressure. A little pressure on the cross. This is what restored Jesus Christ. After he paid for our sins, he trusted God's love. Because of Jehovah's great love, we are never consumed, for his compassion, racham, his tender, loving care, never fail. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross is at the lowest place of the low, and he can say, God's love, God's tender loving care, never fail. They're fresh every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Verse 24. I will trust him. The Lord is good to those who hope or wait, and the word again in the Hebrew means to have complete confidence, faith, whose faith is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. How long did the Lord have to wait for salvation from Jehovah? I'll tell you, 3 days. Salvation is resurrection. That's what he had to wait for. He waited for resurrection. Why? Because, and he had complete confidence. You see, when he says, Father, into your hands I dismiss my spirit. Why? He has complete confidence of the resurrection. Now what he told the disciples? Destroy this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it up. Was this hell temple? Let's fix some idea. He said, right, excuse me, guys. I'm talking about my body here. And they said, oh, sure. Yeah. Verse 27. It's good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young. This is the yoke of the law. When you're young is when you're strong. And so what the Lord is saying here, what Jeremiah is saying here, it's best to learn how weak you are when you're strong. When you're young. When's the best time to learn how dependent you are upon God? When you're young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord, this is Jehovah, this is God the Father, has laid it on him. That's Christ on the cross. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Resurrection. Let him who offers his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. You see, the Lord had great faith. He never stopped trusting in God's love. He knew God's love would not fail. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. So he brings grief, that's the cross. He will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. But he had to. He had to bring grief. He had to hit Jesus Christ with the arrow of our sins so that we might have eternal life. Look at Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah is over further toward the New Testament. Okay? You get to Zephaniah and Haggai, you're Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. You get to Malachi or Matthew, you've gone too far. Go to Matthew, go back 2 books. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. That's Jesus Christ on the cross. And he was God's firstborn, only born son. And even God the Father also grieves for him. As he, who knew no sin, became sin for us. So, that is the goat, Capricorn, and this gives you an idea. He had to die. He had to become sin for us. Remember that I want to really impress upon you this once again from Lamentations, that it wasn't like he was just kind of holding our sins. He became sin. Truly, truly, truly sin. Paul said he was the chief of sinners, but who's really the greatest sinner? Christ on the cross. He had all our sins. Okay? Do you see that? He truly became sin for us. It's just not, it wasn't a hocus pocus thing. This arrow went into him. And he became sin. Now, the second decon is Aquila, the eagle. And the eagle has been pierced by the arrow and is falling. Once again, a picture of Christ dying for us. It's another picture of a grain of wheat falling to the earth, dying. And from its death comes resurrection. And from the resurrection of Christ comes lots of fruit, the church. Now, the brightest star in Aquila, boy, I think, I hate to tell you this, but I can't read that, is Altair. Let's see if you can see it on here. And I'll spell it for you. Al, A-L, Tair, new word, T-A-I-R. Now you can see it. But Altair is an important star. It's right in the middle of her, right here. And it's an important star. It's the star that sailors use when they're getting their bearings for a longitude. And so she's very, very important. We obviously, think about this, where do we as believers get our bearings in the Christian life? At the cross. Okay, look. When we get lost as believers in Christ, I don't mean lost like losing our salvation, but we lose our way in the Christian life. We need to get our bearings. Where do we go? Back to the cross. You see that? It may be this. Oh, I have sinned so God can never use me again. Yeah, he can. All my sins were paid for on the cross by Christ. I go back to the cross to get my bearings. How was I saved? I trusted the one whom God sent to save me. John 6:29. How am I want to be filled with the Spirit again. What work must I do to be filled with the Spirit? I go back to the cross. The same work I did for salvation. Faith. I trust the one God sent to fill me, the Holy Spirit. So how do I get my bearing? I go right back to the cross. I don't have to do 13 Hail Marys, penance, come to Bible class every night for a month, beg God for forgiveness, confess, repent, none of those things. I just go to faith. That's how I was saved. That's how I'm going to be filled with spirit. How do you get my spiritual being? I always go back to the cross. And so, when someone, any doctrine that doesn't line up with the cross, watch it. How do I know it's a true doctrine? It is compatible with the cross. You see that? You can, here we go to church, and the pastor teaches you can only be spiritual by jumping up and down and do jumping jacks and hollering hallelujah for 30 minutes. And sing Amazing Grace at the same time. Okay? True or false doctrine? How do we know? Do you have a passage in Scripture that says that's not true? Oh, we go back to the cross. How was I saved? By grace. How am I going to be filled with Spirit? By grace. So, if it's a work, it's not compatible with the cross. You see how I go back to the cross to get my being? Altar in Arabic means the wounding. And I love this. It means the scarlet colored. Scarlet colored. Red thread. Red rope. Go to Joshua chapter 2. Now this just blows my mind. Right after the Pentateuch, right after Deuteronomy. Two spies going into the land. And they meet Rahab. And she knows a lot about God, and there's something weird that goes on here, and we'll see this. It comes from Aquila. Look at verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim, and he says, go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. Now, these 2 spies represent Jesus Christ. Hypostatic union. But they represent the 2 sides of Christ. Favored son. That's the resurrected son. Crucified son. Forsaken son. Okay? Now, you see, Jesus Christ, one person, okay? But he is the forsaken son on the cross. He's resurrected. He becomes the favored son. And so they go to Jericho. Remember, Jericho means his life is a sweet-smelling savor. It's the cross. So he went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Rahab means rebellious one against God, but it also means the one covered. The one who trusted God. Isn't that neat? How do we start out? Rebellious? How do we want to end up? The one covered. Now, Jesus, remember, we saw this, went to Jericho in Luke. And he fellowshipped with a tax collector, which represents tax collectors. What 2 categories always go together? Whores and tax collectors, right? In the New Testament, tax collectors and prostitutes. Rahab was a prostitute. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. So Zacchaeus equals Rahab. When these two spies, when they went into her house, they violated the Mosaic law. Jesus Christ violated the Mosaic law. And they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy on our land. And so he sends them to look for him. And in verse 4, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gates, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch them. But she had taken them up to the roof, interesting, and hidden them under the stalks of flax. Flax represents Egypt, that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Now, they're not saved. They're just afraid. The demons are not saved. They're just afraid of God, but they're not saved. We have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and so you will save us from death. Verse 14. This is Christ speaking. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. These two men are always together acting as one. Favored son, forsaken son. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord has given us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window. The window's like a door, isn't it? So that Christ is the door. For the house he lived in was part of the city wall. Now notice that when they came out of the window down on a rope, they are suspended between heaven and the earth. Can you see the picture of the cross? Now she said to them, go to the hill so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there for 3 days. The cross. Until they return, and then go on your way. After 3 days, resurrection. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land. Here we go. See, I've read all this to get right here. You have tied this scarlet cord, rope, in the window to which you let us down. Now, the rope, the red cord, represents the cross. And where are you saved? You're saved as long as you stay inside the house. In other words, as long as you stand behind the cross. The cross protects us from the evil one. from eternal damnation. That's where our safety is, at the cross. And so, that's the red cord. And unless you have brought your father and mother and so forth in your house, if anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath that you made us swear. Again, she replied, let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now, when they come back, okay, that's the story of Christ coming back for his bride. You see that? When we come to the cross, we're saved. Now we're the bride. We're regenerated. And when they left, verse 22, they went up to the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched along the road and returned without them. And then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened. They said to Joshua, Jehovah has surely given us the whole land into our hands. And we should read probably 6:22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out, all who belong to her in accordance with your oath. Now see, this is Christ coming back to the earth at the rapture and pulling out all who belong to him. When the two men went down the rope, that's a picture of Christ on the cross. When they come back and they rescue her, that's a picture of Christ coming for his bride, for the church. So, when you look at this star, and it's the red cord, the scarlet cord, it's all this. Now, all I'm trying to say is, well, why did they say a red cord, red rope? What does the red have anything to do? Why? The red, he's already talked about, the God of the heavens. I think she knows the zodiac. And when they tell her that, she puts it all together. Another star is Al-Okab, O-K-A-B. And it's in the tail. Right here. And it means wounded in the heel. Where was Christ wounded? In the heel. Right? The eagle, obviously, is the natural enemy of the serpent. By the way, another interesting thing about an eagle, in hard times, when the eaglets are hungry and the eagle can't find any food, she will tear her own flesh and feed them her own flesh. Almost sounds like John 6. Lest we eat of his flesh. Third deacon is the dolphin. So I at least want to get here real quickly. See the dolphin? Rising again. Notice, coming up. Okay. Coming up. And it means the Delphinus, the dead one, rising again. That's a picture of the resurrected Christ. Once again, the third deacon in each book shows us the victory of Christ over Lucifer. That's what this whole thing is about. Who is worthy to be God? God's hero or Satan's hero? Jesus Christ or Lucifer? And every time it comes out Christ. That's why he could say on the cross, Teleistiai, It's finished. Victory is mine. Mission accomplished. The dolphin, boy, you loved it. We love to watch dolphins. They're so full of life. Jumping out of the water, leaps out of the sea. What's the goat? The goat is dying. That's Christ dying for us. That's the forsaken son. But then we have, from the forsaken son, we have the resurrected son, and from that, we have the church, the doctrine. See, we're all here. Gives birth to the church. Christ's resurrection gives birth to us. The resurrection is proof that our sins were forgiven. The dolphin identifies Christ with the church and us with Christ. And obviously the church comes out of the work of Christ on the cross. So, in Capricorn, we have the goat, the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And we have the fish of the dolphin, the fish coming out of the goat, which speaks of the people for whom the atonement was made. That's you and that's me. And finally, next week, we will get to Aquarius. I'm sorry, what? Right here. Yeah. Well, that was one from another week. Okay? This is the eagle here that's in the decon that belongs with Capricorn. This eagle belongs to Sagittarius. Okay? So I have to get them all straight. Wait, this one? Okay, this is Leo with the harp. The one for praise. And it goes... It was Scorpio or with Sagittarius? I forgot. This one right here? Yeah. This, in fact, remember we saw this one? This one is very much like the symbol of Mexico, except it has a snake in it. And it's a harp, meaning praises to God. Because of his death, we can sing praises to him. Yeah, it's flying right here. Going down. Right? Can you see a star right there? Oh, this one has several stars here, but this star right here is the one we're talking about in the tail. Wounded in the heel. Appropriate, I guess. Okay? So, next week we'll have Aquarius, the water bear. So after the atonement comes the blessing, the Holy Spirit. Okay? And guess what? We'll go back to an Old Testament prophecy, and we'll see the prophecy of Aquarius in the Old Testament. Any questions before we go? I tell you, I have... It's brought a whole new perspective to me as I look at different passages and you put it together with the zodiac and you say, oh yeah, now this makes sense. Well, of course, now I see how people could understand that. It's the frame of reference for them. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and to worship you. I pray that your spirit would just take these things and make them real to each one of us. These things I pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Workday Saturday, if I didn't announce that, and men's prayer, Friday morning, 6 o'clock, Dick's Place. Workday Saturday.